Escaladores combines two words when translating from Spanish to English: climbers and scalers. Climbers, because they climb mountains of difficulties and prejudices and mountain ranges of impossibilities. And scalers, because they manage to scale their initial idea.
La empresa que acaba de reemplazar a Yahoo en el NASDAQ 100 es also vale más que la mayor. Se llama Mercado Libre.
MercadoLibre.com, un sitio de internet.
An idea is always important, but much more important is to put it into practice and make it grow, even in contexts that seem adverse.
Mercado Libre, a giant.
Climbers and Scalers is the story of people who think they can. Reaching the summit is not only touching the top, but also enjoying competing in the most challenging league with the best in the world. This is the story of Mercado Libre, told in first person by its protagonists. This is Climbers and Scalers, narrated by their own professional AI clone voices, with full authorizations.
La facturación de Mercado Libre en Argentina equivale a la de los 10 principales centros comerciales del mundo.
Mercado Libre, congratulations.
On May 21st, 2025, a letter from Marcos surprised the world. In a few lines, direct and measured, Marcos announced that he was transitioning the role of CEO at Mercado Libre, the company he founded 26 years ago. The decision was not improvised. On the contrary, Marcos had been silently maturing it for years. In this new episode of Climbers and Scalers, Marcos tells, for the first time, how the process really went. When he understood that it was the right time, what place his family, his team, the board of directors occupied, and how artificial intelligence helped him write, in just 15 minutes, the most difficult message of his life. This is the story of a transition thought out in detail, of a change that does not seek to close one stage, but to open another. Because even at the head of one of the most important companies in the world, taking a step back can be the most lucid step.
The letter was by far the easiest part, and it was the last thing. I did it in 15 minutes. I obviously wrote it all down. I threw it up, put it to ChatGPT, polished it up a little bit. If you see the first sentence I did, I got a newsflash. All of that, of course, is artificial intelligence. Mine was going straight to the content. The letter was really easy. I literally did it in 15 minutes, but then I sent it to my team. There were a couple of back and forth. There were a couple of sentences that were a little bit too much my style, and one or two of my team softened it up a little bit, as I put in the letter. If you look, there are statements of mine, many of them, where I said that at 40, I'm going to retire. No way I'm going to continue here after 40, after 45. Then I said, I better not say anything more, because every time I said something, everyone who reported to me started to make accounts and it generated anxieties. And at one point, when we started to compete with Amazon, I realized that I would not be able to retire. That was maybe the most important challenge we had so far. Yeah, there's always going to be a bigger one after that. But for me, it was a mega challenge to compete against one of the most successful and important companies in the world. It was clearly not a moment in which I was going to be able to step aside. That's when I realized that I was not going to be able to do it for 10 years. And, well, it's not that I didn't have the need or the desire. I don't have it now either. I mean, it was very hard for me because, as I was telling you when we were coming here, it is fascinating. Mercado Libre is an absolutely exciting place. I don't know, with the fingers of your hand, you should be able to count the number of companies in the world that have the size that Mercado Libre has, which this year will have revenues of approximately $30 billion and will grow more or less at 50% year by year. Moreover, in an industry that is constantly changing all the time, like what is happening now with artificial intelligence, that changes all the parameters of where you compete, what kind of service you provide, the platforms, the operating systems. So it is an industry, for me, for what I like, very fascinating, very changing, very dynamic, where you can add a lot of value in a short time, very competitive. It has all the things I like. It was a decision that cost me a lot. Then once I said, well, this is the moment, I talked about it a lot with my wife too. I realized that my brain was playing tricks on me. I mean, everything I was saying that had to happen, this and this, to make the decision, it did happen, and my brain was looking for excuses. One of the things I was saying, well, if I'm going to do this, that's not really what I want, because I love this. I always thought about doing what's best for Mercado Libre. What can I do to make this the best for Mercado Libre? But if I'm going to do it at a time that is not ideal for me, I am not going to do it at a time that is bad for me. So one of the things I was saying is that we must be very good as a company. I must feel that there is a person that really, I am very confident in that person and in the team, and it has to be more or less right for me. So one of the things was for my youngest daughter to finish school. So when my daughter finishes school, I started saying, well, but this is the first year and I want to see how I'm going to adjust. I'm fooling myself. All the conditions I wanted were already given. They're really happening. It's time to make the decision. So that happens in January. And then, well, I started to talk to all the directors with whom we had been talking for a long time, because there were several previous things that happened. I mean, Stelio, who is my lifelong partner, a Brazilian who studied with me at Stanford and led the company with me for 20-something years. 3-4 years ago, I asked him to step aside to offer Stelio's position to Ari, because we needed to see Ari in a more responsible role. Always, always, Stelio felt that he was going to be at Mercado Libre as long as I am, as my co-pilot. And for me, it was absolutely fundamental. I mean, that's one of the reasons why Mercado Libre is what it is Stelio. Because I think there is no Latin American company that is a leader in Brazil without being Brazilian. Mercado Libre is the only company that has achieved that. The other companies that have achieved that are American. And the reason behind that is Stelio. And to be able to have that conversation with Stelio, it wasn't easy, but Stelio is such an amazing person that makes everything easy. And together, we made the decision, because also Stelio, as well as I said, we want the best for Mercado Libre. And we knew Ari was a candidate, but we needed to see him in a more leading role. So that decision was made almost 4 years ago with the board, with the succession plan that we had been talking about with the board. This does not surprise the board either, but let's say the timing, yes. Why now? It is one thing to have the succession plan and another thing to execute the plan. So I talked to the board and the board supported me, understood it, and was fine with it. After that whole process happened, I had to talk to my team. And we had a board meeting in Miami. So we took advantage of it, and one thing led to another. And those were very difficult times for me. A lot of burden, a lot of emotional burden. I realized it after I talked it over with everybody. They were very, very emotional days. I was exhausted. I remember I went to New Orleans with my wife. My rugby team was playing there. And we went to watch the game, and I was absolutely emotionally drained. Very rarely did I feel like that. I slept. I would wake up every day at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was sleeping. You know, I was waking up at 9 o'clock in the morning. I was really like I had run 5 marathons. But I felt very calm. This whole process that I'm telling you about seemed very, very interesting to me. Many times when you go through a process of making a decision like that, it's like you say yes and then no and then yes and then no. I never said no. I never at any time woke up in the morning saying, no, maybe it's not a good idea. That feeling that I never at any time said, maybe it's not the best thing to do, left me very calm. All the doubts and everything I struggled with was because of me, because of my emotions, never rationally. Rationally, I always understood that it was the right decision, and that leaves me very calm. And then the reaction of the team, the messages I received, obviously I received a lot of messages that were tremendously exciting for me. But the amount of messages I received supporting the decision and excited about what's coming and excited about Ari as a leader and as a person, and the reaction of the team, especially my direct reports, was one thing that really surprised me for the better. I can tell you that I didn't expect it, but I didn't expect it to be this good either. So that also left me very calm and very happy. And it kind of reconfirmed to me that it was the right decision.
Making a big decision alone can be very difficult. But making it surrounded by people who tell you only what you want to hear, too. Marcos opens the door to a space we didn't talk about in previous episodes of Climbers and Scalers, the Mercado Libre board. Marcos talks about the board members that accompanied him for years, such as Miki Malca, Javi Oliván, Emiliano Calemzuk, Gucho Agusin, and the uncomfortable questions that Enrique Dubugras dared to ask him. Marcos tells how he built friendships that forged the trust to walk this road together, and why, sometimes, the best sign that you are about to do the right thing is that someone from your own team questions it.
The board is also, as well as what was my team in Mercado Libre, is a team. Everyone has different personalities and different roles within the Mercado Libre world. Miki was, I don't remember how many years, but well, we lost him about 8 years ago. because he was on our board and in one of the companies that today is one of our main competitors. So as I told Mickey, I need everyone in my team to be very clear that we have to beat the other team. He cannot have any doubts if we score a goal, whether I celebrate it or not. He's a great friend. And the truth is that Mickey played an absolutely decisive role together with Javi Olivan. I don't remember now if this is in any of the Climbers and Scalers episodes. I think it was 2011 approximately, or 2010. The other day, I posted several charts of the history of Mercado Libre, and I included the market cap chart. If you look at Mercado Libre's market capitalization, it has been there for several years, between 3 billion and 4 billion, but for several years, despite the fact that our revenues were growing. I think that our profits were also growing there, the volume of operations, everything is growing, but the market capitalization is stagnant there. And at that moment, when we were worth $3 billion, eBay came along and made us an offer to buy us for $5 billion. Hernan and Nico were no longer in Mercado Libre, and I really did not know where to go. I really had a lot of doubts about that offer. And one day, I thought we had to sell. We were worth $3 billion. It was an offer that was way above our market capitalization. In fact, even the board of directors did not know how to react because they have a fiduciary responsibility among shareholders. If you don't sell, and then the company is worth zero or one, which in this industry can always happen, what happens to the board that made that decision? And what happened is that eBay had been a company that historically for us was the company that we admired the most. When we started in 99, eBay was like Google plus Amazon plus Facebook today. In other words, it was the technology company. It was by far the most valuable company in Silicon Valley, the fastest growing, the most successful. And they were also our partners. Yeah, we had a five-year partnership with eBay that was spectacular, which we learned a lot from. And they had 20% of Mercado Libre. And then eBay was losing its luster. Amazon surpassed it in everything. By 2010 or 2011, I don't remember when that was. Clearly, Amazon was worth more than eBay. It was more valuable. But eBay still felt it had a chance. So it wasn't that we had written eBay off. And Mickey was one of the people who helped me decide what not to do, that it wasn't the right thing to do, and I will never forget what he said to me. If you want to do well, this is a great offer. Now, if you want Mercado Libre to be a company that lasts, and that, going back to the decision I made, I will never forget it. That part of the decision I made is that Mercado Libre should be a company that transcends me. He told me that if you want Mercado Libre to be a company that transcends you, you know that this is not going to happen, because if you sell to eBay, Mercado Libre is going to disappear, it is going to lose in Brazil, and it is going to cease to exist as a successful company. And that was it, that was it. It took me 2 seconds to make the decision, 2 seconds, and it was just like that. Because if you see, eBay was the leader in Europe, let alone in the United States. It lost everywhere. And, well, today Mercado Libre is worth, I think, 5 times what eBay is worth. It's crazy. It is worth more than eBay and PayPal combined. Mickey and Javi Olivan were in Silicon Valley, and being there, they are very connected with everything that is happening there. It was already known there. So it was already known that all the smartest engineers were not going to work at eBay. It was kind of a foregone conclusion that eBay had lost, even though it was not yet apparent in terms of market capitalization. It helped me make that decision. Gucho joined the board later. I think he joined around that time. I don't remember when he joined. My relationship with Gucho started in 2001. He always tells me about it. He comes to see me and I tell him, I don't know why you come to see me. I hate bankers. And we will never ever pay you a commission. And Gucho was a super important banker of JP Morgan. And we were 10 sappers who were working from some garages. He says, no, well, but I want to understand what you are doing. I don't know what and I don't know how much. And I was very friendly, and I had studied with Gucho's brother in college. And I said, well, I only receive you because I am a very good friend of your brother and I trust you. I only receive you because of that. I don't know what, but you know, we are never, never going to work with you. And you are never going to charge a commission because I don't like bankers. They ended up doing our IPO. It ended up with JP Morgan being one of the top banks in Mercado Libre and Gucho being on our board of directors. He is a very trusted person. And he is a very interesting person because he is a banker. He is passionate about technology. Imagine that he came to see us in 2000, 2001. He has always been interested in technology and entrepreneurship and adding value. He is a very trustworthy person. Susan Siegel, impossible to measure her value. Emiliano Kalimdzuk, who studied with me at the University of Pennsylvania. There were also very strong personal stories with Emiliano, who had an accident. We hardly knew him. We were at the university, and he had put me as a contact in case there was an emergency. Because Emiliano arrives one day at the university, asks for the list of Argentinians, and they give him my name. He calls me and says, I am Emiliano Kalimdzuk. I am from Mar del Plata, from a public school. He was visiting universities, and I was in my first year. I welcomed him, showed him around the university, and then he applied, got in, and we became friends. But the first day, when he was asked, in case of an emergency, if something is wrong with you, who do we call? I'm talking about 1991, there were no cell phones. He says, call this person. And 3 months later, he has an almost fatal accident, and they call me at 3 a.m. Are you Marcos Galperin? Yes, well, Emiliano Kalimdzuk is in the hospital in the middle of Pennsylvania, in intensive care. He had an automobile accident. I did not understand what they were talking about. I never knew he had put me on his emergency contact list. We left with my brother at 4 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of Pennsylvania, which was about a 3-hour drive. He had gone out on these fraternity things that they do with a group trying to get into a fraternity with a group of friends. And he got into an accident, flipped the car, and he went flying. He was saved by a miracle. A helicopter came down. It took him to the hospital. Without even knowing who he was, they operated on him and saved his life. But when they called us, he was still fighting for his life. And we had to call the parents to Mar del Plata, who we didn't know. We had to go and look for his parents in New York when they landed. We didn't even know who the parents were. Then the parents got out of the plane. We had left Emiliano in intensive care in the hospital, and we still didn't know if he was alive or not. We went to the hospital. We saw that he was alive. The doctor told us to touch him, talk to him. You touched his hands, and they were as cold as ice. I'm a person who is also very impressed with those things. It was a very extreme experience, very, very extreme. Luckily, everything went well. From then on, we became very, very close friends with Emiliano, and we have a lot of trust. So on the board, there are very trustworthy people. There are people with a lot of technical knowledge. There are also many people who love Mercado Libre very much. Then we always try to have entrepreneurs. At the time, there was someone like Mickey, who is a tech entrepreneur. As I was saying, it is a team. People who contribute with different things, people who contribute with technology, people who contribute with entrepreneurship. We always like to have a lot of Brazilian presence. We always have at least one or two Brazilians on the board. And Enrique is an outlier. Enrique sold his first company when he was 18 years old. He is an entrepreneur. He is out of this world. Enrique, in this process, was the one that generated the most doubts in my mind. It is interesting what you tell me, because Enrique told me, I don't understand what you're doing. This is your company, and I don't understand. You love what you do. It's going great. I don't understand what you're doing. I really don't get it. Why are you doing it? And like, for 24 hours, I kind of said, why am I doing what I'm doing? He was the only one that really made a point to me that I think he did it on purpose. You saw when I told you, I never regretted it. But he was the only one who said, I want to go to sleep, and tomorrow I want to see if I still think the same. Because why am I doing what I am doing? I love what I am doing. We are doing great. This is spectacular. I am young. I don't feel tired. I don't feel exhausted. I don't feel stressed. Why am I doing this? If I can do it in 5 years or more. And I think he genuinely didn't understand. And he asked me those questions. He's in Silicon Valley. I don't think an American would have ever done what I did. And it was great. Because that's what I'm telling you. And the next day, when I wake up, I say, no, I understand perfectly where he's coming from. I understand his reasoning. But I don't regret it. It is the right thing to do. Because I want the best for Mercado Libre, not for me. But he was the only one who really questioned me. And I think that's the role of the board. Just that. Not to have a board that is always behind what the CEO thinks. On the contrary, it has to be a board that generates doubts, that brings you other types of views, other angles, that challenges your way of thinking, and many times makes you change your mind. From those processes, the best decision usually comes out later.
Not all paths have a summit. There are paths that are not measured by how they arrive, but by how they are traveled. When the environment changes all the time, when what you built yesterday is no longer enough tomorrow, thinking about an endpoint can be a trap. Some founders obsess about legacy. Others obsess about control. But there are those who choose to keep moving, not because they don't know how to stop, but because they find meaning in moving forward. Not out of ambition, but out of curiosity, out of the need to be where things happen, to start again, even after having achieved almost everything.
For me, this was always a path. The analogy you make is good because I never saw it that way. For me, there is never a summit. For me, there is no summit. I am not a climber or a marathon runner, but I imagine that if I were, for me, the goal would not be to reach the top or finish the marathon, but to enjoy the process. The truth is that, looking at it now, the process of starting Mercado Libre was tortuous. Starting a business is one of the few things I don't miss. Very distressing because there is a lot of risk of death all the time and you feel very vulnerable. But beyond those beginnings, which were very traumatic, I always enjoyed the road. And I never felt that there was a peak. And I don't feel it now. If you want to go back to the metaphor of climbing, you see when you go to Aconcagua, that I think they make a base at 2,000 meters, at 4,000, at 6,000. This is like a base to continue, but this is a mountain that never ends. It never ends. That is the truth. What I see happening in our industry is fascinating. I think it's a starting over. Yes, this whole artificial intelligence thing, the things that are going to happen, the things that we are already doing at Mercado Libre, it's a fresh start. I don't know if you read the book of the Andes. They get to one thing and they say, we got up there and we are going to be in Chile. We are going to get there. And they get to the top and they look up and there are 25 more mountains. They say, when are we going to get to Chile? This is a little bit like that. It never ends. And I think it is essential to enjoy the process, enjoy the road, and honor the achievements you make. Every now and then, look back. Say, wow, look how far we've climbed. Look where we are. But at least in Mercado Libre's culture, that's very brief. And then look up. We still have all this left. But no, look, everything we have left. How spectacular everything we have left. That is, it never ends. What fun. And let's keep climbing. Because we do it because we like it. We like the process. We at Mercado Libre see ourselves as an elite sports team. Because even in the sense that we get along very well, we have a great time, but we are all aware that we are a team and not a family. And you see, if you are playing football as nine and you miss three goals, you are going to the bench, and maybe even it is good for us as a team that tomorrow you will not even be on the bench. You might get out of the team, be a part of the community that supports Mercado Libre, become management or from the stands, whatever. But those who enter the field must score goals if you are a striker and save if you are a goalkeeper. And I watch sports a lot, for example, tennis players. Now they are playing Roland Garros. You win Roland Garros, you celebrate 3 days, and in 2 weeks Wimbledon starts. You see, there's not much time, and our industry is like that. There is not much time. New things are happening all the time, new competitors, new technological changes. It's good to celebrate, it's great, but you can't spend too much time celebrating, paying tribute to yourself, because it doesn't stop. And the others are training to beat you. It is very competitive, very changing. And I think it's more fun to look forward than to look back.
Sometimes a seemingly simple decision, like choosing a color, exposes much deeper layers. How identities are built, how egos are managed, and how cultures are aligned within an organization. Mercado Libre's yellow is not just an aesthetic choice. It is a bet for unity, for immediate recognition, for leaving behind the implicit division between the blue of Mercado Pago and the yellow of Mercado Libre. And a sample of how decisions are made in a company that discusses everything until everyone pushes in the same direction.
Never in Mercado Libre a decision is mine or someone's. That's the truth. I mean, you've been deep inside Mercado Libre, how we discuss things. I think that one of the reasons why we have done so well in Mercado Libre is that process, which is very healthy. It is a process of cruel honesty, of discussing ideas without caring about political correctness, without anyone being offended, because there are really no bad intentions, but they can tell you are saying something stupid, which does not mean that you are stupid and you defend the idea. And then when you get to the final idea, everyone is behind that idea. And if it turns out well, ooh, no, what a crack, this guy who came up with the idea, because it's not like that. And if it goes wrong, ooh, what a disaster, this kid who came up with the idea, because it is not like that either. In other words, we were all behind that idea, or in the end, even though we were not all behind it, we were all convinced that it had to be done. And that is how it was. I was one of those who thought that it made no sense to bring two colors. In many aspects, I think that even subconsciously, it was generating two groups, the blue group and the yellow group. What is the blue world, the yellow world? And we started to advertise more. For many years, we only did digital advertising. And more recently, we started to do a lot of offline advertising in yellow. Sorry, but I'm going back 20-something years. In our origins, as you remember, we had a competitor, De Remate, that had a very strong orange color. We had a very soft color. When we started at the beginning, we had a very bad logo. And with Hernan, we went through a whole process of changing our logo, which was a spectacular process, with an agency called Bridger Conway that made the logo of our handshake. That lasted until now, and I think it will last forever. It is a symbol that also represents us, represents our culture, how we are. It is spectacular. Besides, they did a lot of offline advertising, and we did none. The whole city was orange, and we have to have a logo that can compete with this. So we went for yellow, which is the most visible color, the one that contrasts the most. Yellow is a spectacular color, especially when you start to advertise offline. And then, well, now we went back to offline advertising and we had yellow. We started to use it with Mercado Libre. And now, as Mercado Pago is getting bigger and bigger. One day I see in Brazil an airplane that was half yellow, half blue. And it said, "We are the same." What is this? We are crazy. I had always been saying that we had to make everything yellow. And when I started to see that, I said, it's crazy. Start painting the airplanes, half yellow, half blue, and whatever the message is, we are the same. If we are the same, let's all go yellow. I think everyone in Mercado Pago started to see the same thing too. When we did the Copa America and Copa Libertadores, the whole stadium is yellow. Yellow is a spectacular color, really. And the people at Mercado Pago said, we would like our logo to be there. I told them, oh, would you like that? Yes, well, yellow. We are not going to make half yellow stadium, half blue. And explain to people that we are the same. Yes, I pushed it. But the truth is that Mercado Pago people were totally, totally in agreement. And I think it was a great decision. In all countries, it worked very well. In Argentina, there was a little bit of noise, but I think it passed.
There are gestures that seem minor, like the change of Anita, one of the biggest artists in Brazil, from Nubank to Mercado Pago. But they end up revealing the real pulse of an organization. Not so much by what they show outwardly, but by how they take decisions. In companies where competition is part of the DNA, even the most tactical moves reflect a way of being in the game. With autonomy, with speed, with a cool head, and a certain dose of infighting. Sometimes, the most interesting thing is not what you do, but what it says about who does it. Listen to Anita, as she says in Portuguese in their cheeky Mercado Pago ad. My relationship with my digital bank was not working. And the relationship, when it is like this, better to change, right?
O meu relacionamento com meu banco digital não estava rendendo. E relacionamento, quando é assim, melhor mudar, né?
This Anita person, I didn't even know who she was. I had never seen her before in my life. She has 90 million followers on Instagram, and she was an absolute unknown to me. Honestly, to me, I would tell you 99% of the people on Mercado Libre, it didn't mean anything to me. What's more, I had no idea. I was surprised because, to tell you the truth, without naming names of very senior people from our competitors, personally, they called me. I didn't even know what was going on. I had been told 6 months before. I didn't know this person. I had no idea who she was. I had never seen them. I have no idea who they are. Nor did I know the whole story that she had been on the board of Nubank. But well, I had been told, we are thinking of bringing in this person. Well, in Mercado Libre, they take those type decisions. I am not behind those things. People are often surprised because I am in all the details, but at the same time, I am not in any of them. The teams are very autonomous. And the day it happened, he calls me indignant. So I write to my team. Guys, what's going on? What is this? I was really surprised. It seems to me that for us, it was something totally tactical. And I thought it was a very good decision and it worked very well. But for us, it was something tactical. I was surprised by the noise it generated on the other side. I think that maybe we are also much more used to compete. We have two businesses, the marketplace world, which is a very, very intense competition. I mean, since the days when you started, 99, 2000, with De Remate, with Locao in Brazil, with all the startups that existed in all Latin America, yeah, until today, it never stopped. And it is a really very, very extreme competition. We say the e-commerce world is like the UFC. You see, two enter the octagon, two start the fight, and only one comes out standing. That's how it is. We fought with all those startups, and now we have been with Amazon for the last 10 years. And now that we are more comfortable with Amazon, all the Chinese appear. So it never ends. And the fintech world, which is the other big industry, we say it's like golf, where you compete. But you say to your rival, what a good shot you made. You give him a pat, congratulations, how well you played today. It is another spirit. And well, our DNA is that of the UFC, because we come from there. So to summarize, I think Anita's decision is tactical. It was a very good decision and it gave us very good results.
Mercado Libre overcame its toughest rivals in all the markets where it is present. It transformed itself with every technological revolution and grew to become one of the most important brands in the world. But the eBay and PayPal case taught them a very clear lesson. In this industry, standing still means going backwards. To scale, you can't stop. Today, they have the best motivation to keep moving forward. Even fiercer competitors and even more challenging technologies. In the next episode of Climbers and Scalers, Marcos tells us what he thinks of the Chinese e-commerce giants that have entered the competition in Brazil, and what projects Mercado Libre has with artificial intelligence.